We'll start with Parks. What questions do we have for Kevin?
Well, you know, what's going on with park and rec charges, Kevin?
I'm sorry?
What's going on with park and rec charges?
Charges.
Yeah, it says park and rec charges adopted 64,000 last year, down to 45 this year. Mind you, that's a $19,000 difference in round numbers.
Removed the day camp.
So what happened with the day camp?
So I started to look into that last year with the hopes of reintroducing day camp to the area, and there's a lot of state regulations that have to be followed, and not the amount of regulations I was prepared to take on quite yet, and not by myself. So elected not to go with the day camp this year, and not that we won't revisit again, but not ready to go with next summer either. So that's the difference in park charges and some of the expenses.
So what's the expense line that correlates with that? Is that parks personnel part time?
Some of it would be parks personnel, which would be 7110, 113.
Yep.
So that was where some of the day camp, well, all of the day camp staff would have come out of. And
so, I mean, is it a wash?
Yes.
Okay.
It was budgeted to a revenue would have offset off all the expenses.
Okay.
Yeah. The other line is 7310406. Wait, is that?
That's
no,
day camp.
I'm sorry. No, not that one.
No, that's the gems camp.
401, 7310401.
Okay, so because you're in terms of expensive, you have park. That's the only one is the $21,000 in parks personnel part time. So I just want to correctly assume that that's the expense that you will not be incurring because you're not doing the day camp, right? And you're spending less on parks equipment. So you've only budgeting $5,000 in parks equipment.
Correct.
You're okay. So, I mean, that sounds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm factoring in there items we need, but you know, the last few years, equipment included a tractor, a new mower, or implements for the tractor, and you know, equipment wise, we look good.
Oh, good. All right.
No, that's not to say that things don't change again. Whether it's 25 or 26, whatever. But this year, equipment-wise, we look good.
Okay. And the I don't want to dominate this, but the contractual Lysander program, is that the GEMS camp? And why are you showing a reduction in expenses?
So that's where those expenses for day camp were removed from.
What do you mean the expenses for day camp? It says contractual, so you're
right. So, I guess Jennifer can explain why
contractual
budget items are
supplies. It includes services. It includes all of those things. It's the contractual word is tied to the last three digits. Anything that is 400 is considered contractual.
Okay.
And it covers all of the things.
Okay. So is the GEMS camp in here?
GEMS camp is, so expenses for GEMS camp would come out of 7310401,
okay,
at contractual Lysander programs.
Okay.
And the staff for that is out of parks personnel part-time, 7110113. And that's in there.
And where's the revenue for that? Because that program is a wash, correct?
We actually make some money on that.
Okay, so where's the revenue for that? Is that in the park and rec charges revenue?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Revenue for most everything would be in park and rec charges, except for we put Pop Warner into other cultural and rec income because it also included reimbursement to us for portable toilets.
Okay. So is 2024, is there anything strange going on or new and different, or is it, you know?
No, nothing strange, new and different. We'll try some different youth programs. That's personnel-wise and supply-wise, really not much for supply-wise, but personnel-wise, it's in there.
What was that one program you were going to do in here? You came to me and said, hey, can we use that for, what was it, recently?
So one that we are doing in here is a collaboration we have with an organization called Challenge Island. And they are STEM-based programs, anywhere from a half-day program or camp, if you want to call it that, to half-day week-long or full-day week-long STEAM camps. And then the other thing we talked about was with Play to Learn. We collaborate with them on stuff, but that was Play to Learn was more of a rental, whereas Challenge Island are programs that we make more or less ours.
Why don't you talk about
that? Challenge Island runs them, we make them, they come off as our programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't you let them know about the track camp, because that was pretty much a success.
Oh my God, that was a collaboration. That was a collaboration with Play to Learn. 170 plus kids, ages 4 to 10, 11, whatever, fifth grade, like 10 or 11.
10, yeah, 10 or 11.
You forgot already.
Yeah. You know, I know 13 is
18.
That's it. 10, 11. See, that was close. That was good.
I mean, they change throughout the year. You know, they
right.
have birthdays.
That's right.
You go in at 10, they come out
but,
most of the time,
but
not all the time.
A collaboration with Play to Learn. She had some of the equipment, and she had the background in track to coach it. We worked together to put it on. We utilized the high school stadium, the track, and it was 4 Sundays. We're going to expand it to a fifth Sunday, a fifth week. We're going to do another program in the spring. So ideally, it'll be every spring and fall. And it was highly successful. It was well received.
And is that in here somewhere, or is that just a no cost program?
I think we had kind of pulled it off after I had all kind of the budget stuff in there. It's a slight revenue for us. Any of the expenses that we incur are completely covered by the revenue of the program. So it's a expense wise, it's a wash.
So what's the program cost? Approximately.
Approximately, costs were hard costs from our end, which we reimburse on, were about $2,500.
Okay. So is that somewhere in here? Because I just want to make sure you've got enough money to pay for it, even and then
right.
have a
right.
revenue line. Is
right.
that in here, John?
It would go in the 7310401. Yes, but I think Jen, you and I talked too that it would have to go into that other cultural and rec income if they're reimbursing us.
What line item
expenses,
is that?
Correct.
Well, park and rec charges is at the top.
I think you have a couple programs that work a couple different ways.
Yeah.
So you have some programs that are parks programs that we run.
Correct.
You have some programs. in which the contractor is taking the revenue in, and we had upfront expenses, and then the
right.
contractor is just reimbursing us for
reimbursing
set expenses.
Us, right.
So in here, on the programs that we run, the revenue should be part of parks and rec charges. So we're just
right.
holding Pop Warner in that one line alone, and the associated expenses. When the expenses belong to the contractor and are not ours to begin with, then we are not counting those as expenses.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine with it. I just want to make sure that he's got enough money to cover any,
yeah.
any program that was
yeah.
out.
Either way, we yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure you have enough,
yeah.
that's all. Because it's, it's no big deal to put two numbers in there,
right.
on the plus and the negative.
My question is more towards Jen is, at what point, how come we don't drop some of these line items out that we don't budget any items for the past 4 years? Why don't we just take them out? We should have a cadence that if we haven't budgeted any money for the past 3 years or so, we take it out completely.
The only reason that line items are still in here is if they have past actual expenses that you guys might want to see.
Yeah.
So if we're going back to like 2020, because if we didn't include
those,
well,
there's park supervisor doesn't have any expenses whatsoever.
Oh, well, we can.
Yeah, I'm just saying for a cleanup.
I think that's
yeah.
like the only one, because I went through each and, you know, knocked out anything that
yeah.
we didn't have.
Or go back 4 years or so, yeah.
yeah.
What else? How about the any work, any proposed work on the new property? Was it the Whitney property? What is it that we switched, we traded?
No, not at this time. We've got other projects between still trying to pull off the work on the grant and get the parking lot taken care of. We've got the grant that we're working on with the outdoor fitness equipment and the grant on the bathhouse. So we've got enough to do to before
okay.
opening up and taking on another thing with that. But it's still on our plans. It's
okay.
future plans, but yes.
And that's money that
goal would be
yeah, that's money that when we get ready to do that, because we had talked about it, it's money that maybe the county will have some money for because of Micron and stuff. Micron might be willing to do something like that because we're close.
Absolutely.
The waterfront revitalization grant, who knows if that could be incorporated in it. So not like we've talked about it, but we want to make sure we get these other ones in and then move on.
That's great.
And just start working on them afterwards.
And the only other question I can think of asking is, do you have enough money in here for all of, you know, our favorite subject, the white ash trees that are dying?
Yes.
So where is that?
Yes.
Is that contractual expense?
Because
there were a few years we just didn't have enough money to take
right.
those trees down. So
yeah.
So where
so
is that?
We've got, that's under Parks Contractual Projects, 7110-401.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 15 in there. And we've brought it down to 15 because what we're doing this fall is our full-time park employees, our seasonal full-time park employees, within about another week here, are going to start taking down the trees that they can take down.
So
and what
ahead.
Would be left with this 15 would be any difficult trees where an expert is better off coming in to do that, and the stump grinding.
Do we still have money in the budget to bring them back? Are they still working?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not being critical, but I'm not going to hear from you that probably we don't have enough money to take, because these trees are dying. They're all going
right.
to be dead, every single one of them.
Right. The ones that are out in the open, the primary used parts of the park, they're gone. They're gone.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And the stuff's been grinded fully now.
The ones that were done last year, yeah, the stumps were ground. The last ones were maybe sometime in May.
Yeah.
Yeah. Topsoil seeded. Looks great. You'd be hard pressed to see where they were.
And then the flip side of that, do you have any money to buy trees?
That's budgeted in there.
in the.
Yep, that is in, which would be 7110400.
Okay.
And we did, I think I budgeted again for 10 trees. We put 10 in this year and I budgeted for another 10.
Okay.
We put a mix of oak and maples in this year. And they are a 2-inch diameter trunk.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're approximately like a 10-year-old tree.
Mm-hmm.
That looked nice.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Oh, not like the little ones that were there.
No, not the seedlings. That we mow over. Yeah.
That you find in your own yard when you're mowing, you're like,
right.
What's this? It's
right.
A tree.
Right.
Pick it up.
There are a few seedlings left, still, yes. Yeah.
I'm fine.
I have a question.
Sure.
You know, looking at 2022, because 2023, we were thinking on day camp, so mm-hmm. I'm just going from 24 to 22. We're increasing, we think we're going to get almost $11,000 more in income with park and rec charges. What's your significant increase?
We're already above, if you take day camp out of 23, we're already above what our forecast would have been.
Okay. I mean, with the programs you have?
It's a combination. It's rentals of the pavilions,
okay.
The community room, rentals of the fields, program.
Oh, so that's where field rental comes in there with like Bison or lacrosse. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, looking from 24 to 22.
Which line?
On the 7110s, the, you know, supervisor
mm-hmm.
maintenance
mm-hmm.
Projects, we're going up $7,000 in expenses from 22 to 24. I mean, not, look, 23 is an anomaly because of day camp. So
right.
I'm not really looking
yeah,
at that.
Yeah, if you take that out, if you take the day camp out, we're up, yeah, like 7,000, but you have to factor in every year there's inflational increases.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, our full-time and part, I mean, our part-time, the park attendance, the part-time looks like that jumped the most. And, you know, we had 34 grand in park attendance in 22, and then we've changed the way we account for part-time people, and that's up to 59 this year from 22. On what's is that for coverage for the increase in usage of the fields?
Well, no. I was going to say it's not really a good example, but we did take so. We had a part-time, I think it was David.
Isn't it a wash, Kevin? If you take 31 from 170, you get 100 and, 140, and we only spent 100. I don't know. It looks like it's a wash.
Mm. Well, we've gone down considerably in equipment. But we've considerably gone up in labor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what the labor's for. Because I don't understand what the additional labor's for. That's all.
I think I can add a little here. I think it's the one more programs, more things happening now that everything's coming back to life since the pandemic. So in maybe that 2021 actual year, you're not hiring as many people because you don't have any programs going on. But there were also some charges,
right.
too, if we look back on direct leader and direct supervisor
right.
back in 2020.
Right. Well, we had moved. We moved people. We moved employees around, too. So we did have a part-time laborer. We did away with that and then created the senior rec leader. But we also had at one time, so the gym instructors were added to pay. payroll as opposed to paying them contractually.
Okay.
Right. So,
so it's got somebody there.
Right. Okay. So there were movements of people from different among different accounts that would show up as the differences.
Right.
You know, there's not.
Yeah, and I don't.
It,
I mean,
doesn't it? It has the appearance of, but it's not more people.
No, that's fine, and I, you know, going back to 2020 probably doesn't help us.
No,
and I didn't look at 2019's numbers.
You'd have to ask somebody else about 2020.
It might be more in line with 2019, which is fine. I was just, you know, it's an increase from there if we take out the wash from day
camp. Right.
So, and I think Bob already hit it. You know, I saw on the programs it was down $4,900. And, you know, I was just wondering if you're doing more programs, how are they costing us less? But if the, you know, if we're having private contractors come in and we're just getting the difference, then that's fine.
Yeah, some of it's that, and some of it is we already have some of the supplies
that you need to do it.
Right.
Okay. No, that's fine. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Everybody good?
Okay.
All right. Why don't we do? Why don't we talk about? You had some questions about the buildings, right? Somebody did.
Yeah, I did. Okay. And usually, and the only question I had is the one that's not itemized. We usually debated to ad nauseum what projects we were doing.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if you had a list of projects that you. It was always a. I always felt it was a doomsday conversation, like if we had to get this done like yesterday. I hate to,
yeah,
to pick on Al, but
25 projects, so like, we could only afford 10 of them.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. We would have them prioritized. But now it's just one line, projects.
So yeah, I mean, any thoughts? Any?
Yeah, we've been talking about them. I mean, one of the biggest things, why don't you tell them,
so
you can remember that.
Yeah,
I can't remember off the top
of
my head.
Jennifer kind of put this out to kind of itemize that building other line. And projects, and there's a ton of projects between this building, the highway garage, the trooper barracks, you know, there's code, a list of code items that our code enforcement officer has, and Bob and I'll have the opportunity, I'll have more of an opportunity this winter and moving into early spring before we get rolling with parks to look at a variety, look at all these projects and prioritize. A couple of the possible projects, they're possible, they're on the list, is the bringing the curbing at this building, in the parking lot on both sides, the curbing up to ADA compliance, and then sealing and striping the parking lots here. That's one of the possibilities. Bringing the curbing up to ADA compliance could potentially be a costly project, which Bob and I have talked, like it could be partially the project line plus money from ARPA if it came to that. One of the other possibilities, and again, it's just it's a possibility, it's on the list, is the locker room at the highway garage. If the highway garage were to hire, they saw a little bit of an issue with this last winter, if they hire a female wing operator, or at some point if they were to hire a female MEO, they don't have gender separate bathrooms or locker. Well, they have a bathroom now that is not really dedicated just to the females, but they don't have gender separate facilities over there. And that's one of those things that we really need to take a look at. And that becomes somewhat of a code issue as well. So those are two possibilities among a list of possibilities.
Well, we're going to take it. We're going to go through and do an evaluation of these buildings, and then take a look at what's the most critical needs right now, and then once we do a comprehensive overview of all our property, then we'll next year we'll have a better idea specifically what we want to do and when we want to do it. You know, if we might need to do some next year, we might need to do some the following year, but we'll come up with some long range planning for this, because
the full list is definitely have to be spread out.
We took a look. Two of the biggest things that I was worried about, I mean, we were looking at how, well, I'll talk about the roofs first and then I'll let you. But we had a contractor come over and take, in fact, he's doing some work now. And he took a look at both of these roofs. And this roof is probably good for at least another 10 years. You know, we're good for that. And the roof on the highway, same thing, probably another 10 years.
As far as replacement goes.
Replacement, as long as we take care of it, you know, and we're doing some maintenance over there now, and it's costing us about $3,200. And as long as we maintain it and get up there, seal it, and, you know, do the stuff you need every year, we're probably looking at 10 years on both of these roofs. But at 10 years, they're probably both going to come up at the same time. And if you were to replace this roof today, somewhere between $150,000 and $200,000, and the highway would be less than that, but it's a big number as well. So, but our the building.
What about Troopers Barracks roof?
That one, you know, I haven't taken a look at that one, but I've been over there, and normally I'll notice it if it's bad. So it can't be that bad because I would have noticed it, but. If that's a 20-year-old building, that's going to be coming up, depending on what they put on it, that's going to be coming up within the next 5 years, 5 to 10, depending on what they put on it.
Our review. It's a shingle. Yeah. That's a shingle.
Is that architectural, though? Architectural shingles over there?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. It can't be three tabs. So architectural shingles, they're at least good for 25, and then some are 30. But those are the type of things we're going to have somebody take a look at as well, but these roofs we're going to have to be looking at. But our building is going to come to fruition, the payment on that, or when? 26, I think?
I'm well, say
within the next couple.
25, 26.
Yeah, 25, 26. So we'll be able to have that. So if we do bond, we'll all it'll do is take one for the other, but we don't want to bond now because it's going to be expensive.
Exactly.
You know, so luckily, you know, we don't have to do it right today. Hopefully, when we get ready to do it, where we do have to bond, we can get a lower tax rate, and all we'll do is roll over while we're paying now. And as a matter of fact, maybe we can even, in anticipation, set up a reserve account specifically for these different projects.
All right, so you're set. You're comfortable with $60,000.
From what we saw, I think, and that's what we've been using. But I'm sure next year it's going to be higher, because I think we should be, like you said, bathrooms. There's a bathroom here. We should have an ADA bathroom here. And I tried to get contractors to come in and look at it, how much it's going to cost. I can't get them here because it's too small of a job and they're too busy. Maybe I can get them over the winter. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking right where the ladies' bathroom is now for the employees, we could punch a hole in that wall on the other side so you could get to it as you're walking down the hall to the receiver of taxes. You could punch a hole in there and probably have an ADA applicable gender-neutral bathroom in there. Mm-hmm. But that's going to, you know, that'll be a few bucks. So those are the type of things we'll look at this year and then come up with a plan on when we want them done and how much it's going to cost.
Great. Oh, back for Parks and Rec. Did you ever get the electrical fix for the lights that don't work?
Ones in the parking lot. We're talking two lights going down the driveway.
Okay.
So the only other questions I had.
Rule that out when it comes to, you know, when we get
down the road when we look at, you know, right now I want to look at expanding parts of that parking lot on the south side. The next step after that would be looking at getting all the lots and the driveway and the lots up front, everything paved. When we get to that, we can, that would be the time to look at repairing those lights, because that's going to require digging back up where they dug a few years back to
put the spill.
I don't remember what they did, whether it was sewer or drain or water or whatever. So, because that's apparently when that was.
Yeah.
When that was done.
Yeah, it was done in 2018.
When that damage was. That took the phone lines out to that building too, so.
Right.
And apparently the electrical line was just nicked enough to cause a short, because those two lights on the driveway will come on, but then they go out, and the electrician I had looking at them can tell that there's some form of a short because it'll run hotter.
Right.
Or so.
Okay.
That's kind of
so just an explanation on, if we're done with parks, on giving us all a set of brains, Jennifer, on engineer fees. You know, we averaged around $80,000 to $90,000. That was.
Are we well? Are we set with Kevin?
I am.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I got thank a couple you items too. Yeah, that was one of mine.
So okay. I always thought it was just what we were charging.
You're good.
Thank
you. Yep.
See
you. Thanks,
see
Kevin. Guys. Good job.
Thank you.
It was the end result of whatever work our town engineer as an employee was doing on behalf of all the projects, and those were the fees that were charged. That's what we got as cash. So, but it's a different explanation, right? So
those fees were coming from two places. Some were coming from the escrow accounts with the developers. So when Al would perform a service for those escrow-related projects, we would bill a set rate for his engineering fees, and the money would come from the escrow projects that we're holding and become revenue to the town.
Mm-hmm.
The other half of that was special districts. So when Al was an employee of the town and he would do work for the special districts, the special districts, we were a vendor to the special districts, and we would get that revenue sort of, if you think of the special districts as departments, it was interdepartmental revenue that we would get. Now Al is not the employee, and the vendor for engineering is now CHA. So we don't get that revenue coming in interdepartmentally, because the town is not providing that service to its special districts anymore. CHA is providing. So it cuts the amount that we're getting in half. So now it is only the amounts related to the escrow projects that are coming into the general fund as revenue, because the escrow projects are not part of the town. It's not a department, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we are still the vendor there, subcontracting with CHA.
So the money or the revenues that CHA is getting from special districts, do we have any say in that? Are they bringing in the same amount of money to themselves as we would have, or are they actually charging this districts more money?
It's definitely more money for the districts because the rate is higher. You guys were at like 125, I believe, an hour is what was being charged.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's
yep.
180.
Yep.
And that was part of the resolution where you passed the revenue resolution to increase that hourly rate to the districts and make it okay to charge to what CHA is actually charging, which was the, you know, Al's rate is at 180.
So if Al's rate's at 180, why would we drop engineering fees down $48,000 to 40 grand?
Because it's going right to CHA.
Because it's a pass through for
yeah.
the special district.
The special districts pay, like we code it directly to the special districts. On the CHA bills, it's by special district, it's by escrow project. If it's for the general fund, they separate everything. So we don't get interdepartmental revenue anymore. We used to when we had an engineer on payroll and the general fund was providing a service to the special districts. but we're not. Now CHA is providing the service, so those expenses just hit the districts directly.
No, yeah.
So this is actually making sense to me now.
Yay!
Because I didn't understand it at first, because I didn't realize that it was two sources of revenue in years past. I think you said you were going to do a sort of a cost-benefit analysis for us on all of this, just to make sure that, you know, we're getting the right service at the right dollar level.
Yes, we're definitely going to do that. It'll be winter time when that happens.
That'd be great.
So we have more information on a full year of expenses from CHA. And then we can kind of do a comparison, and we can look at some of not only the tangibles, but there are intangibles attached to that, too, that you might not necessarily think about. Like, Kevin's taking on a lot of building things,
exactly.
And that was something that was in the engineering office prior, and IT management and things like that. So we'll try to make it as comprehensive as possible, but I think it's not as easy as we used to bring in this revenue and pay this amount out.
Exactly.
And I'm going to guess that's why on the expenses, you lowered the expenses of the engineer to 75, because that's more in line with what the general fund expenses will be from the engineer.
Yes.
Right. Everything else is going to be
special in the districts, yeah. Right. And then I have one addition that I need to the budget of $3,000. And it is on that county sewer and water line. Now that the county has passed their budget, they increased the sewer fee by $5. Also, we thought in our usage, so the way that the county bills us is the aqua usage would be from actually the year 2022 with the sewer rate that they just passed. We thought on the usage that we were going to get a credit, so that's what it was calculated against. But then Aqua came back and said, nope, we didn't mess up, we were right, that is the actual number. So that increases what we're going to have to spend on that county line, and we spend it right in January when we get our tax bill. So
plus, that's part of the Spray Park sewer fee too, right?
That's real legitimately the
wasn't it like $32,000 last
18. And now it's going to be $21,182 if I do the calculation on the usage from 22 with the new sewer rate. I thought it was going to be closer to 18 or 19 when we thought we were getting our usage was not accurate, but it was accurate, so we're definitely going to need more money there.
So what are you changing the number to?
Where is that?
That's 25 to 28? Is that what you...
So, yep, 3,000.
It's page 3 of 9.
Yep, page 3 of 9.
Annual 19.
We're still at a...
That Spray Park didn't cost us anything, Bob.
Still a tax decrease.
I didn't say the operations. I said the building of it.
Still a tax decrease, but it only moves up by
water.
We're still in the general fund
at
a negative 2.2%.
Right.
That's great.
Right. So.
Well, that's good fee to pay the people.
So we're all in agreement to put that 3 in there. Yes?
Yeah. One thing that came to light, too, is we don't have comprehensive coverage on our vehicles or glass coverage on any of our vehicles. That's something that we, especially when we're $500,000 vehicles.
Let me look into that, just because I remember having a conversation about how something like that was covered under a different policy. So let me look into that.
I would get with Ken then, because he took a rock through a window and he found out after calling the insurance company that we didn't have comprehensive.
Yeah, let me look into that and see.
Because that's a huge, that's huge there. We don't have that on those vehicles, on any of them.
But he's got to that's the first I'm hearing about it. He's got to let me know about it. I never get calls from Ken. I mean, when there's something like that, I'll
call
him
then and have him.
What's
that? I found out about it yesterday,
When did it happen?
No idea, I didn't ask him.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't know to ask that. I mean, how would I know? Hey, Ken, you had any rocks in your windows lately? I mean, right. Those type of things.
I saw his truck the other day. It had like a little plastic thing over it. I'm like, what happened?
What,
like,
on his own?
On his truck that he drives, yeah.
Never said a word.
Yeah.
I mean, those are things he should be notifying us about, not him calling. That goes through us.
Yeah.
And then if we don't have it, then we'll find out, okay, what's the problem? Because when we go through those insurances, I mean, we're in there for a couple hours going through all this stuff. I mean, some things can be missed, but they won't be missed if I know that it's an issue. So then when they come in, we were just talking about health insurance today at the supervisors meeting, but they got to let me know,
yeah.
You know, and I'll call them tomorrow, but you know, he should be calling us. We take care of that, not him.
I have to look into that,
yeah.
And get back to you, because there could be a couple things that are happening there, so I would have to get the information right from our insurance provider. You guys wanted to know the SPCA.
Yeah, before you do that, it was last night, so of course I forgot. Did we all agree to increase the mortgage tax to 550, or are we leaving it at 5? And I don't care.
No, not the fact from.
She,
this year we.
This
got
year
money.
We got.
She's
going to
put it
dollars
into the
2023
from
for 2024.
Right.
It's 500.
No, we're budgeting. We're going to stick to the 500 budget.
I don't.
It was at 450.
Yeah.
Let me see. What are you looking at?
I'm nervous that it's high. But
I'd rather.
Well, we got 600 this year.
I think it's way too
so
high.
So we actually dropped it down 100.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we talked about yesterday.
Yes. Mortgage tax.
No, the paper was the budget that we got
from actual
went from budgeted 550 this year down to 500 proposal for 24. And I asked yesterday, mm-hmm. Are we being too conservative? And I don't really have a problem, but if it helps the budget to by putting $50,000 more in there as the budget as a mortgage tax proposal.
As revenue, you mean?
No,
as
no, you don't want
yeah,
to do that.
No. It's the other way.
I mean, if we don't get that money, then we've got to fund it.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I just think we're going to get it. But all right, so let's not debate it. All right.
Well, we went from almost 900 grand 2 years ago to what, 600 grand this year.
600 grand this year.
So it dropped by a third in a year.
Okay. So you all thinking, oh, you're going to get us 500.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're a lot less, but.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to
go less? I think 500 is pretty accurate.
We should do a hamburger bet on this or something.
We got 600 this year.
It would be nice if we got a million.
We're going to get 550 next year.
Is this Price is Right? Can't go over? Or
a dollar. I bet a dollar.
And if we do, that only helps next year.
Oh, I agree.
Budget.
Yeah, I understand. So. Okay, so I just wanted to remember. All right, so yes, the SPCA.
The 6,000.
Wild animals.
It is. Animal cruelty investigations.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
I
forgot about that.
Which might not necessarily be dogs or cats.
No, that's all they handle. They don't handle anything else.
Well, but any cruelty investigation?
But it's not just collecting.
It's through the SPCA. We contract
investigating.
Yeah.
We contract through the SPCA. That's all they can handle. They can't dogs. They can't handle horses or
I think they would do cats.
Cats and dogs.
Dogs and cats, yeah.
They can't handle horses or pigs or anything of that nature.
So
the contract states for this is just, you know, the law that against animal cruelty, and they do investigations for violations of that.
Yeah, and that's in the eggs and market law. And off the top of my head, I think it only talks about cats and dogs anyway.
That's Article 26.
Yeah.
And I remember that we had two contracts. So I guess the question, there's two points. One is that one went up fairly significantly. It's not going to make an ounce of difference to our overall budget, but just in principle, it went up. Where is that?
They're getting more, though. I mean, so they... They're getting more of those types of complaints, and if we don't, we'll take a look at it. How many did you handle for us last year?
So that was
they can't tell us. That's the issue, because I tried asking them how many calls have they been in town of Lysander. They really can't narrow it down. They don't work on Saturdays and Sundays. They don't work past 5 o'clock either.
I could get those numbers, because you can do it. If they're getting kind of get called out on complaints, there's going to be 911 would be dispatching unless they get it
or
right.
Unless,
if they get them right through their office, they could tell us, but if they dispatch them through 911 or through the police department, you can get those numbers.
Oh, right, right.
And we could just call up there and say, hey, run a thing.
My only issue is they don't work past actually 3 o'clock, and they don't work Saturdays and Sundays.
It's page 4, I think.
Yeah.
I think they have a new fiscal person too, so you know how they had some problems in that area?
That was years ago.
Yeah. Now they have a new fiscal person. I don't think things were being looked at as detailed the last couple of years. The new fiscal person is much more on top of it. Making sure that they're doing their billing correctly. And
yeah, but that doesn't mean that they're going to come out and work on Saturdays or
Sundays.
Well,
no, I'm not speaking to that. Yeah. I'm just saying I think they looked at a cost-benefit analysis now, whereas they haven't.
Well, yeah, they're getting robbed before. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
So the suggestion that I texted you, Bob, was it's $28,000, and are we getting our money's worth? And I guess I would like to see a formal report from them, you know, a couple of three times a year.
This is what we
did for you. You know, it's like any other service you buy.
Yeah, we can ask them this year. And if they
are evasive about that, then I hope we're spending the money wisely. And I know having a dog control officer is not what I'm thinking about because that's super expensive. But is this the best we can do? That's all.
It is expensive, but two, sometimes they pay for themselves as well too. Right. You know, dog control officers, because they're out there writing tickets and fines and things of that nature too. Mm-hmm. Where they're not. I'm not saying I want one. I'm saying they're great service. I talked to them. I've talked to both of them. The females, fantastic. So yeah, they provide a good service. My only issue is Saturdays and Sundays, and they don't work at night. That's when half the problems happen. Mm-hmm. Not during the day when someone's home.
Yeah, and so, we're not going to solve it sitting.
No,
tonight,
no,
but,
no.
But it's definitely an issue. I think we're not getting. We may be confident that we've got a dog control protocol, but it may not be as good as we think it might be. I've had an incident with them that left me feeling really uncomfortable because they were not there.
So did I. So I got attacked by a dog. So.
Both in the same year.
Well, here's the thing with that. If you get attacked by a dog, the Eggs and Market says that's a vicious dog. So some police agencies will tell you there's nothing you can do about it. Well, that's wrong. According to the Eggs and Markets law, if you get attacked by a dog, especially if you get bit or if it injures your dog, you call the police. The police have to, by law, it's not said may or what, it says the police shall do an investigation. So you call the police on that, 911, and that's 24/7, and then they take care of it. In fact, we had a lady come in here. I won't mention the police agency, but the police agency kind of, I would imagine the cop just didn't know what he was doing, said, no, we can't do anything about it. And so I said, no, that's not true. I called up the police agency. I said, this is what happened. Here's the section of law, and I think she got taken care of because it's right in the Eggs and Markets law. So anything with that, we just have to make it known to people. If you have that instance where you're attacked by a dog or your dog's attacked by your dog, you call the police, and they have to take a report. And then they have to do certain things with the dog. Mm-hmm. They have to quarantine the dog. Now, they might go through the SPCA later to do that. But, you know, I had a dog, a poodle, years ago. That dog was crazy. We had to quarantine him 10 times. He bit more people. He bit me 3 times. You know, I mean, the dog was nuts. But, if you got a vicious dog, it's a 911 call.
So that's good to hear. And only that one anecdote or that one experience that my daughter had a few years ago, it was like, you know, who's on first? The SPCA didn't know who to call. When we did get in touch with the sheriff's department, no, we don't do that. That's the
well,
answer.
What was that?
It was a stray dog that was kind of, I guess one of the things that I would hope we could do, Bob, next year, maybe on our webpage, you know, dogs and issue and dogs and pet issues, frequently asked questions.
Yeah, we could do that.
Do an FAQ that, you know, what do you do if?
That's not a bad idea. And put that down.
Put that on the web.
Well, we need a whole revamp of our webpage. That's a cluster. If you ever try to sort through there, it's not
we're looking at
a
that.
Year.
we're looking at that too. You know, get you know, along with our software for accounting and the web page, and we got a lot of things we have to update.
Good. Well, you guys did a good job on the budget. I'm impressed.
Okay. We good?
I'm good.
All right. We'll call the budget meeting adjourned at 6:18.